Welcome to the Laura Mayer Podcast. This is a podcast all about learning how to walk in the mental, emotional, and relational freedom that Jesus provided for you. My prayer for you each week is that truth enters your heart, that chains fall off, light bulbs come on, and that your mind is renewed to take another step of freedom. Freedom isn't a destination, it's a right here, right now place. When you step over into a new way of living, moving, doing, and being, and that's in Him. In Jesus' strength, ability, and identity that He has given you. I have a special guest with me today, and I'm so excited that she's here. It's my very own daughter, Sarah.
Hello.
Those of you that don't know, I have three daughters. Sarah's the middle. And several
middle
weeks...
Middle and proud.
Several weeks ago, I was thinking about the podcast, and I felt like the Lord said that my next guest needed to be Sarah. I've had a few guests here. This is not a guest-based podcast, typically. Yeah. Some podcasts out there are. It's mostly guest-based. This one is not, because it's more of a teaching podcast. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, the Lord will put people on my heart. And these are people who might not have necessarily a social media that's focused on this topic.
Yeah.
But they're doing this in their real life. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Lord put it on my heart to have you on. And I didn't really have a topic idea, but I mentioned it to you that day after picking you up from school. I was like, hey. Mm-hmm.
And we just started talking about it.
Yeah. I was like, you want to be on my podcast?
And I said, sure.
And then you're like, what do we need to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's in you. I feel like you know what
that
we're supposed to talk.
That alone was super scary because it's just pressure on me all of a sudden.
Well, and I wasn't trying to put pressure on you, but the Lord hadn't showed me what we were supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, it was in you. And so, I guess before we tell him that, though, introduce yourself.
My name is Sarah. I'm a freshman in high school. I love to sing. I sing all the time. My friends get on to me all the time for it. I love friends. I know that's like a cliche answer, but I do. And I'm a people person. I love people.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hanging out with people is where I want to be.
Yes. And you're good with people.
I love it, so.
Yeah. And so Sarah's 14 and a half.
And a half, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that part.
The half matters. And I would describe you as super creative and spontaneous. You are always making, creating, doing something.
Like, I have this whole entire Pinterest board on my phone.
Yeah.
Just for crafts and like.
You're definitely very visual,
yes.
Hands-on.
Yes, I love doing that.
And everything is a song and a dance. And a dance.
One of my friends could say one phrase, and I would make this whole entire like rap song off of it.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's a vibe.
You've always had such a big personality that I used to describe you, and still do, as a 100-watt light bulb. That when you come in the room.
I mean, I never go out. You know, I'm loud and proud.
Yeah. Loud and proud and fully you and all the things. So the topic for today. We started talking in the van after picking you up from school that day. Mm-hmm. And you started just running down a topic line of how you wish that people knew how to develop a relationship with God for themselves.
Yes.
And you hit what I call a gusher. Like, that's what me and my friend Holly call it. Like, you hit a gusher. You hit, like, there's wells on the inside of you, deep wells. And when you hit certain topics, it hits that well. And you just have so much to say about it because it's something that you have lived out and tested out. And now you've got a lot.
Yeah, I waded out the water. And
yeah.
Now I know how to float, you know?
Yeah. You've done this. You've been there, done that. And now you got stuff to say about
it. I've been in both the broken, the happy, the confused. I've been in every single state. And I know how, you know, God works through you in every single state that you have.
And something about you is that you... As your mom, I have seen you for such a long time prioritize your own relationship with God. And ever since you were little, running toward Him, you've always had a heart very soft towards Him. And that's something I have prayed over all three of you, is that your hearts will always be soft toward Him and putty in His hands.
Yeah.
And even through some really hard stuff.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Life has not been perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
But he's made me go, like, not made me go through it, but has gotten me through it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's never left you through it. And I've seen you run to him, but I've seen you prioritize your time reading your Bible, not because I reminded you, but because you wanted to get up and do it. I've seen you come home many days after a hard day at school.
Oh, and it's just a miserable day in general. And I just go outside and swing on the porch swing.
Listening to your worship music and praying and talking to the Lord. And you come back in a filled up person.
Yes.
So,
because I love people. But when certain things happen, my people meter is like down.
Yeah.
And I just need, you know,
yeah,
like Jesus juice to, you know, gas in my car. I need to go again.
Jesus juice. So that's what Sarah's going to share today is how we want to talk to the person who is ready to take their relationship with God from just a Sunday morning, Wednesday night.
To a relationship.
Yeah. Talk to the person who has always maybe done relationship based on a checklist.
Yeah.
You really have a passion to help people move from the checklist.
Because I knew how it was to be stuck in the checklist mindset. And just honestly being stuck because it didn't feel like there was anything more. It just felt like, oh yeah, you go to Sunday school classes, you go to church on these certain days, and yeah, you can like participate in the Easter play and you can do all these things. But what is it for? Yeah. Am I just doing it to do it, or am I doing it for Him? And so when I was really figuring out the waters and really figuring out how to, you know, live my relationship with Him, it really just took a lot of reflecting on my side. A lot of, why am I doing this? Am I doing it just because, you know, other people? Because of other people looking at me, you know? Because I want to strive to be, you know, the good Christian girl. Is that the only reason I'm doing it? Am I the Christian girl, or am I acting like a woman of God? Am I actually prioritizing my relationship with Him? Because Jesus was a person who walked on this earth. He definitely was. And the same way, like, I wouldn't have a relationship with you unless I actually talked to you and I actually spent time with you. You're not going to have a relationship with Jesus if you don't spend time with Him.
That's good, Sarah.
He's a person, too.
Yeah.
And that realization, how do you say that? I can never say it.
Realization.
When I realized that, it truly helped me literally step from one stone to another. It was a life change. Like, it's like, you know, when Saul's eyes were open and he became Paul.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I wasn't, you know, like Saul before, but it's still the symbol of completely mind shift. And that's what it really felt like. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this for other people's eyes, or am I doing it for my King?
It was like a wake-up moment, sounds like.
Yes, definitely was. It really, that time became, it shifted. It became important to me.
Yeah.
And it was
evaluating your why.
Yes.
That's because good.
I like to know why I'm doing something.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I hate math. You know, they're like, figure out how many, you know, oranges Benjamin has. Like, why? Why am I doing this? It doesn't make sense.
This has no point.
There's no point in this math problem. But with Jesus, there is definitely a why.
There's a point.
There's a point.
Yeah. That's good. So we talked a little bit before, and you were talking about the importance of just of you learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, even in your time with Him. So when we say time with Him, we're talking about time reading your Bible.
Yes.
Time talking to God, which we call prayer.
And for me, I do both of those things, don't get me wrong. But for me, definitely the singing and worshiping.
And time and worship. Yeah.
That's my favorite place.
You know, I bet David in the Bible, I bet that was his favorite place.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure he studied scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to be able to have the faith to,
absolutely.
Sing the words he sang.
Absolutely.
Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we know he heard the word. But we definitely see David as someone who his time of communion with God showed up a lot in psalms and songs. And I think that's really beautiful.
For me, it's not really about what I'm doing, but the way I'm connecting with Him. Because I love singing in general. Like, I will roll down the windows and, like, scream songs down the road. Mom can.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she knows. But it's just the way I connect with Him. It just feels way more personable.
So you decided just to go with that instead of fighting against that. because there was, I know at times we've talked about it, there was like this mindset that you thought your time with God had to be
yes.
structured a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying, but Mom, I feel most connected with God when I'm singing, when I'm writing worship music.
Because mm-hmm. I feel the most free in His.
And that's also when God will download stuff to you and yes. talk to you about things.
Oh my gosh, yes. There's, I cannot tell you how many times Maverick City Music has been on the speakers.
Yeah.
And the Lord just reveals something to me then. And I'm like, whoa.
It's almost like it's your prayer time.
No,
if prayer is talking to God and listening yes. for Him to talk back, you just do it with music and
because
melody.
What is worship songs? It's scripture.
Yeah.
And so I am reading scripture. I'm just singing. You know, scripture yeah. is still getting through me. It's just from singing instead of reading.
So talk about kind of your journey with learning. I know earlier off when we weren't recording yet, we were kind of discussing different study styles that some people really love devotionals
mm-hmm.
and how,
which is a great thing,
yes, wonderful, but how you've learned that you've done some devotionals, you've done some books.
I feel like I've done all of it and I'm only 14.
Yeah, well, practicing, yeah, like practicing different things. And I think there's seasons. There's been, I know in my own life there's been seasons where there's been a really great devotional come my way. I remember when I was about your age, there was a book that came out by a man named Tommy Tenney, and it's called The God Chasers. And wow, it was about mm-hmm. pursuing a relationship with God for yourself. And that book turned my world upside down.
Yeah.
And then there was a devotional that came out too called The Daily Chase. And I would read that every day.
Mm-hmm.
What does your time with God, though, now look like? What's your reading pattern? How do you decide what to read?
There's no pattern except the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's really come down to. Because I remember from a very young age, it felt like everything was so, like, laid out. And it had to be, like, you know, perfect. But then I realized that when you accept Him, you know, as your Lord and Savior, you know, you're born again, you're free. You're free from any bondage, including micromanaging. And for me, it really, I love just working in His Spirit because it's just like, I'm not doing it, but it's getting done. And it's just like really cool to see how God's moving. And I was getting to a point where I was like, okay, Lord, what do I need to, you know, read? Because I'm hungry for You. I want to, you know, read what You have for me. And it's in the Bible, so it has to be important. But what part will best benefit me in this season that I'm at or season that I'm in? And it got to the point where I would sit down and I would start my worship music because I love worship. It's such a freeing place for me. I just feel like I'm floating and I love worship. And I would just be singing whatever song, but the songs that I would put on, and it all started because the Lord would like give me this random song that I haven't listened to in like 5 months. I knew it wasn't from my brain because I hadn't listened to it. It's not like, you know, it was stuck in my head. Like, I hadn't listened to it. So I took that as, okay, Lord, You're giving me a song. And it just so happened that the song he gave me was the exact thing I was going through. And so it's like, this is 100% Him. Like, my human brain couldn't do this. And so I would just start listening. And I was like, okay, Lord, show me what I need to read. Because it's important, mm-hmm. because it's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be added unless it was important. And so, like, Lord, show me what I need to read. And I would just get this verse, or like, not verse, but the Lord would like show me like this chart and how everything I was feeling. It was a really big like reflecting time. And He was like, okay, Sarah, how have you been feeling recently? And I was like, I've been feeling anxious. I've been feeling scared. High school is a way big shift, way bigger shift than I ever anticipated it being. And I'm just feeling really anxious with everything and I'm not liking it. And He's like, okay. And I literally get on Google and look up chapters and verses about anxiety. And then, so then I go and read that. And it sends me down this whole entire rabbit trail. And I'm like, oh my gosh. If I didn't take that time to sit down and reflect in Him, I would have never known I was dealing with these things.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it went further than anxiety. You know, it went further than fear, the way I was feeling. It was deep roots in stuff that's happened to me in the past. And so by just taking that time to truly sit in His presence and just be still. He told me that one time because I love, you know, running and doing stuff. And I was just, you know.
You're always in motion.
I'm always. And
even in your sleep.
He literally told me, he's like, Sarah, be still. I need you to just sit.
Yeah.
And be saturated in what I'm you know, what I have to offer and what I'm trying to show you. And by me doing that and being saturated, it gave me a lot of time to reflect on what I needed in my life.
Yeah.
And really what the enemy was trying to use against me. Mm. So I feel like that was also God saying, you need to be aware of what the enemy's trying to do so you can combat it and get rid of it. And so, you know, anxious scriptures, I would look that up and I would read. And then it would be like, oh, you know, well, this whole entire book is full of great stuff. And it's like books that I would never, you know, I'm more of like a Psalms and Proverbs, you know, and Matthew kind of person. But it's like these random, not random, but, you know, ones that I wouldn't step out and read. But it led me down this whole entire thing. And
having the freedom just to let the Holy Spirit lead your time with Him.
Yes.
And it just being a journey. And instead of feeling like you had to check certain boxes or complete certain chapters.
For me, at least.
Yeah.
It was the most free that I felt.
Yeah.
Because it was the Holy Spirit leading.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
I'll say that feels really similar to how I study scripture now. Periodically, though, the Lord, it's still being led by Him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has led me in times of reading the Bible through in a year or really focusing on certain books of the Bible. I know here lately He's been having me specifically use my concordance and look up specific words and finding where those words appear in Scripture.
And but that's fantastic, too.
That all every bit of that is still just following Him in it. And not saying, well, wait, that's not how I've always studied. Well, it's fine. All relationships continue to grow and develop.
If it's the Word of God, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so letting yourself have the freedom to be free in Him.
Yes.
And then that takes it from this robotic kind of ritualistic relationship to an actual relationship.
Where He's speaking, face to face.
Yeah. You're speaking to Him. He's speaking to you. And for those of us who love control and perfectionism and micromanaging, that can feel really terrifying because we're afraid we're going to do it wrong.
Yes. It's great because you can't do your relationship with God wrong.
You can't.
He loves you too much.
Yeah.
Because that's what the relationship is. A relationship is love.
Yeah, trust Him.
Trust in what He's doing.
To take you to places that are outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So what are some unique things that God has directed you specifically to do during your time? Because it sounds like He was really trying to undo that perfectionism in you.
Yes.
And bring you to a place of vulnerability of just let the walls down and be with Me. I'll take it from there. So he's asked you to do some kind of weird things.
And it's something that, again, I know it wasn't for me because I'd be like, why in the world would I do this? You know, out of my own head, it makes no sense. But it's great because it does in the huge plan that God has for you right now. It doesn't make sense in your, you know, human brain. But in the long term, it would, you know, work out and make sense. But the Lord, one day, you know, the world makes you fake all the time. You know, you're constantly having to change yourself, better yourself, because to get everybody else's approval. And I was just reading my Bible, and I felt like the Lord said, take off your makeup. And I was like, what? Why? And He's like, I want you at your most vulnerable state, and I don't want you to fake with Me. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
And He said, and taking off your makeup will be a symbol of you saying that I don't have to be perfect to be with you.
Mm.
And so when He told me that a few months ago, I was like, that's great. You know, I don't have to be all put together to be with Him.
Yeah.
He says, come as you are.
Yeah.
I came as I was.
Yeah.
And taking off the makeup gives it a sense of freeing because, you know, most guys don't think you're pretty without makeup, but God does because He made you like that. And so also just struggling with, like, that doubt when I'm able to be vulnerable with Him and He still fully accept me, I'm like, you know, this is what I've been looking for and I finally found it. Because He was here all along.
It's a longing of our hearts. I think it's probably true of all humans to feel known.
Yeah.
That people see us for us.
Mm-hmm.
And after being fully known, to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Not loved for the mask that we wear or what we do for other people.
But for your heart and for you.
Yeah. So
how you are.
I think that's really neat. And, you know, kind of makes me think, you know, oftentimes in the Bible, Jesus would ask specific people to do specific things. You know, I think about too when he healed the blind man's eyes mm-hmm. with spit and mud. He didn't do that with everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's
because everybody's different.
Yeah. It's what a unique thing to ask you to do because mm-hmm. he was trying to develop a specific thing in you. And yes. that was safety in my presence mm-hmm. and vulnerability here.
Because he also knows, you know, he knows your highest point and he also mm-hmm. knows your lowest. Yeah. And he knows that something I've struggled with is acceptance and being yeah. included. And he's saying, I will include you no matter how you look.
Yeah.
No matter how you carry yourself, no matter what clothes you're wearing.
Yeah.
You know, it's very this like materialistic view the world has. And God's like, no, you don't have to have certain things to be loved.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's not love. Because love is unconditional, meaning it doesn't waver in the circumstance.
Share with us what the Lord shared with you that time about loving him and how it wasn't hard.
Okay.
And how you realized that kind of at, well, you go from there. Yeah. Just share.
My entire life, I've just like up to this point, I've struggled with, you know, it has to be a certain way. It has to be a certain thing. You know, I have to read my Bible, you know, all the time. I have to read the whole entire scripture or the whole entire chapter, even if I don't have time for it. But, and if I don't, then might as well just not do it because I'm not, you know, being that perfect image. It's so hard to love you, God. And God was just like, I don't make loving me hard.
That's what he told you.
He spoke directly to me.
I don't make loving me hard.
And when that just spoke volume to me because, you know, we live in a society and a world where it is hard to love people.
Yeah.
And they make it hard for you.
It's performance.
Yes.
And striving and earning.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes hand in hand with the makeup thing. I don't have to fake it to be loved. Mm. You know? And vice versa. Like, he doesn't have to fake it. You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't make loving him hard. And a lot of people get stuck up in it. Like, if I can't read the whole entire book of David, then I'm just not going to do it. Or the whole entire book of Daniel, sorry. Then I'm just not going to do it. You got to get out of that mindset.
Yeah.
You're making it hard for yourself.
Of needing to earn love.
You can't love something you can't earn something that's unconditional.
Oh, that's good. Say that again.
You can't earn something that's unconditional.
Which is God's unconditional love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so getting out of that space, and once God showed me, you know, I don't make loving me hard, it truly changed the relationship. Because at that point, you know, I was going through some things. I was figuring out how to flow with the Holy Spirit and how to flow with God. And he said that, and I was like, that's so true.
Yeah. That simplifies everything. That simplifies every single thing that we do to try to make our time with God so legalistic, mm-hmm. so perfect, that we're earning it, that mm-hmm. we're doing enough, saying enough, praying enough, all the things.
You can't ever do anything enough.
It seems like almost at the root of all that enough is this striving to be loved.
Mm-hmm. And love is already there. So you can kick all the other worries out of the way. Because love is already there.
So would you say that knowing that you're loved by your Heavenly Father unconditionally is the foundation?
Absolutely.
Of being able to grow in a relationship
Absolutely,
with Him?
Absolutely. Because if you know you're loved, then you're not striving to be loved.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, that means none of the works that you're doing is trying to earn favor in His eyes. He already gives us that. He already gives us grace. You know? All you have to do is have faith in Him. And just getting out of that mindset of, it's all my fault if I don't have a relationship. No. Just pursue Him.
Just pursue Him.
It is that simple.
And it might look different from day to day. Just pursue Him the way you would a best friend.
Like, your best today is going to be different than your best tomorrow. Mm. But if you let your best today dictate how tomorrow will look, mm. you know, say if, like, today I felt led to, you know, go outside and worship for 3 hours, and that's what I needed for that day. But then if I put that same picture on tomorrow, it's like I'm going to be stuck.
It goes back to just flowing with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Just, okay, Lord, it's you and me today.
Because He might lead me to go do that for 3 hours because He wants to download information. But then tomorrow He may be like, okay, I want you to watch a podcast or listen to a podcast or read this book of the Bible, because He just really wants us to test out the waters with Him and for us to get to know Him.
Sounds like trust.
It fully is trust.
Which means the opposite of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can't control
how much God loves us.
Yeah.
Because he already gives.
And us trying to strive and earn mm-hmm. that love.
Because you'll just get tired. And then you'll fall out of it. And I've found that the times that I feel more distant from God is when I'm trying to be perfect.
Okay, well, that segues into something I wanted to ask you. That what are some barriers that people have in cultivating their relationship with him? And I know you and I have talked about this a little bit before. And one of those is perfectionism. That's yes. a barrier. And that's kind of what we've sort of been talking about the last few minutes. Having it feeling like we have to do it perfect.
Like we're having to earn something that we can't earn because it's already freely given.
I remember one time the Lord speaking to me, he was talking to me about how I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still very much in this mindset that I had kind of been taught in my youth group years.
Yeah.
You know, not all influences from well-meaning people are biblically accurate.
Absolutely. Or are... Because we're still human.
Are right. Exactly. And so I had picked up some mindsets about what my prayer time was supposed to look like. And it was very structured because mm-hmm. that's that perfectionism in me that wanted to do it right, wanted to do it well, wanted to impress God with my efforts. And so I would start off very formal, you know, dearest Father. And I remembered, you know, that I had been taught that I wasn't allowed to ask for anything mm-hmm. until I'd first praised him for what I had. And there was this whole prayer structure that I'd been taught.
You forget the scripture that says he gives the desires of our hearts.
Yeah. Well, but I think what had gotten stuck in my head was there had to be a certain order to my prayer.
Yeah.
And like step one of prayer, step two of prayer, step three of prayer, all these steps. And isn't that exactly what humans always try to do? It's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees mm-hmm. tried to do. They tried to formalize a relationship with God and to earn his love and be good enough. And I remember one time the Lord just kind of interrupting my prayer and said, he brought my best friend to mind and he said, is that how you talk to her?
It's the relationship thing.
Yeah.
Jesus is a person.
He's like, if you were to call so-and-so, would you say, dearest, blah, 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 I am so grateful first for your friendship. And before I ask if you want to go eat lunch with me or if I could borrow that thing and return it Friday, you know, whatever the thing is, that first I had to, which one of your relationships do you talk to like this?
Absolutely none of them.
He blew it out of the water and I realized I had been trading legalism for a relationship.
Yes.
He said, just talk to me like you would your best friend. First, let's get that straight.
Yeah, because I want to be your dearest friend.
That if I were to call this friend, I probably wouldn't even say, hey, it's Laura.
Very true.
Number one, we live in the day of caller ID. But even if we didn't, and some of you are listening and you don't even remember a life without caller ID.
Me.
Yes.
I'm not listening.
The person sitting beside me. That there used to be a time where unless you had the person's phone number memorized, you would have to say how this is because it would, you,
wouldn't know
the phone just rang. You didn't even see a number. There was a point in time where you didn't even see a number.
That must be really creepy.
There weren't screens.
No, that's honestly would be really creepy, though. I want to know who I'm talking to.
Well, we didn't know any different.
So if you don't want to pick up, you can just, you know, hang up.
See, we didn't know any different. It was like, it was a surprise. You answered with fear and trepidation because you didn't know who this was. And was it that person that you didn't want to talk to?
That's like the don't flinch contest, you know, like, I wouldn't like that at all.
There was actually a day before voicemails and before that was
don't
answering.
Talk about that
okay, no, we're going down a rabbit trail. Craziness. I had to explain to this kid what a fax machine was the other day.
In my defense, why not just use email?
I don't know. But anyway.
Just print off the email.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, you wouldn't even say, hey, this is Laura.
Very true.
She would know your voice. You could literally just start talking because that's what we did. I would literally just call her and start like mid-sentence. Hey, blah, 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 blah. You know, because we just sort of picked up where we left off before. It was like this continuous conversation. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to start doing that with me.
It's almost like we think Jesus doesn't carry information from conversation to conversation.
Like he forgets?
Yes. It's almost like people think that. He doesn't forget.
We forget to see him as a person.
Yes.
And as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord, our Savior, but also the Bible refers to him as our elder brother, our friend. You know, God is a husband to the husbandless, father to the fatherless.
Mm-hmm. He's everything.
He is everything. He is everything. So that's just super cool. So barriers is that perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also mentioned where you think it's a barrier that when you mix what other people think about you,
mm-hmm.
end of the relationship.
Because it gets too complicated. You forget who you're doing it for. Again, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, we were talking about how you have to know the why.
Mm-hmm.
If you let people be your why, that's one crappy relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, because then you're adding all these other inputs.
Yeah.
And it's not a one-way street to him. It's now you're going around all the other people. It's like, oh, I'm not going to raise my hands in church because I don't want to look weird. Well, who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping people or are you worshiping God?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to read my Bible out loud because I don't want to be weird.
Yeah.
Again, who are you reading it for?
Yeah.
And when I realized that it wasn't for other people, that I was truly doing it just for him, I started getting free with my worship.
Yeah.
You know, I started getting free with my
thing. You and Jesus had your own thing going.
Exactly. And the, I, you know, I love to know everything that happens. I'm just that way. And I want to know the consequences, good or bad, before I make a decision.
Yeah.
And so I was just talking to God about it. And I said, Lord, why am I not feeling, you know, like I'm getting anything out of this worship? And he's like, because you're not, because you're worried about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. You know? And he said, worship me how you worship me.
Mm.
And then if other people judge you, that's between me and them. And I will talk to them about that.
Yeah.
Because if you're if you're letting other people put inputs, like, yes, listen to your pastor, yes, do all these things. But if you're letting other people, like, dictate your relationship with God, not only are you hurting your relationship, but you're hurting their relationship. Because you're doing God's job for them, you know, because you're like, I don't want them to judge me. Well, if they judge you, then God will take care of that, you know. But if you're just getting ahead of yourself and thinking about things off of your own ability, your relationship won't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it is truly a one-way street.
It's going to stay really superficial.
Mm-hmm. The same way if you have a boyfriend just for social media purposes, it won't get anywhere. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you have a boyfriend just so that you can post cute reels or post cute pictures or add it to your story or whatever, it will not get anywhere. Because you don't have a relationship. You're just doing it for the public view.
Yeah.
And what I think is the best thing ever is when you truly have a relationship with God and then others start seeing that and it helps them with their relationship.
Yeah.
Because the only way that can happen and the only way you can minister to others is if it's just you and God first, and then you and God are so vibrant together that other people are starting to see and they're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, seeing that like happen in my youth group and other people's relationships, you know, maturing and other people seeing that and it helps them, you know, raise their hands or something. I'm just like blown away, even if it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, God is so cool.
Yeah.
That from my relationship, it helps others. And from their relationship, it helps others.
Yeah.
And I love that so much.
What has been the impact in your life of you having a relationship with God for yourself? Not letting it stay superficial. Not just riding on my relationship with God or, you know, your family members' relationship with God, but you knowing your why and saying, I'm going to follow him for myself. How has that impacted you?
Well, I just think of this one example, and it's kind of a stupid example, but say if you're eating a bowl of ice cream, why would I just look at you eating the bowl of ice cream when I could get some for myself? That's honestly how it felt with God. I saw him working so tremendously in your life.
That's good.
That I didn't just want it to be yours. You know, nothing
against
you. I want
ice cream too.
I want the good stuff, you know, and that's what it came down to. And the things that, you know, has benefited from me getting my own ice cream, you know, or me getting my own relationship with God is I truly realized that the scriptures that I've been reading my entire life actually work for me too.
Mm.
He will never leave me. He will never leave me. Like, I never have to go anywhere without him.
Yeah. Never alone.
Never alone. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so when I finally realized that your God is the same as the one I could have, it just blew my mind. And, he's mine as much as he is yours. And I really started getting free because I wasn't working out of y'all's relationship or you and God's relationship. I was now working with my own, and now I have my own testimony.
Testimony.
Testimony. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
You're good.
My brain is going crazy. Now I have my own thing that I can share.
Yeah.
Now I have my own story.
It's contagious. You just said that, like, you and God had your own thing vibing, and then other people at school started seeing it, and youth groups started seeing it. It was the same thing. When you see someone on fire and their light is shining,
you can't
bright,
help but get burned. Like, yeah. It just, you're excited.
Yeah. So, parents, if you're a parent listening to this, lead by example. You know, if you want to, gosh, there has been so many things that I have not been able to give to my children that I wanted to, due to circumstances or just whatever. Things that, 100 things I wish I could go back and do a different way if I could. But I know the number one thing that was in my ability to give to my children was to teach them how to have a relationship with God for themselves. To take their hand and put it in His and say, now y'all go run.
That is good.
Now, because I won't always be with them. And I'm not with you right now. Like, I don't get to go to school with you every day. I don't.
As much as I want you to.
I can't. And so we can't be there all the time. But what we can is make sure they are connected to the one who is. And even now, like, I know when you're facing some big decisions and stuff, and we talk it out, and I'll, you know, I try to help where I can, but there's a lot of times too I say, what's God told you? You and Him need to
talk
this out.
And what's funny is because most of the time, like, God says something to me and I'm like, I'm still gonna talk to Mom about it. And sometimes the Lord's just like, but I gave you the answer. You know?
Yeah.
I gave you what you needed. Some of the biggest decisions.
Yeah.
Just letting His word be enough, and letting what He said be enough for it.
Yeah.
That was life changing. Because now I only had, you know, yes, I'm dependent off of you, but now you're only technically dependent on one person, and that's God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you led me to Him, because, you know, everybody has influences. When you led me to Him, and then after you led me to Him, then I could, like, start flowing and running with it. But it was like you connected me to the supply so that my supply will never run out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, it's like, say I was a hose or whatever, and you connected me to the whale, or you connected me to the spigot or spout or whatever. You know, you did your part as a parent. You connected me. It's now my choice if the water runs through.
That's good.
And that's the most grateful thing that I could ever be. That's the, you know, thing that I can be most grateful of.
The impact, yeah. Gosh, and there's a lot of inner strength that comes. I know there's been times that you really leaned on the Lord in times of loneliness, in times of feeling left out. Cultivating that relationship with Him ensures that you're never alone, that you're never left out.
I'm never alone. And it's so cool, too, because some things that I thought would take me out didn't even hurt me. And there's been so many times that I've literally been sitting beside some of my friends, you know, but they're not acting like the friends that I need. And, you know, they're talking about said party that they're going to that I'm not invited to, which is great for them. But a lot of times they don't see the impact it makes on someone.
Yeah.
And some of them are just doing it out of pure spite. But, and again, that's their and God's problem. But, you know, they're talking, and if, you know, something that should make me feel insulted, something that should make me feel alone, something that should make me feel isolated and not included, actually strengthens my relationship with God. Because I'm like, yes, I'm being left out here, but now I get to go spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I would rather, in the end goal, you know, what I'm doing with my friends has nothing to, you know, count towards what I'm doing with God. Yes, God sends you friends, and that is great, and you need those, you know, inputs in your life. But at the end goal, I knew what I wanted. And by not going to those parties, some of my absence in those parties has actually, like, saved my life and saved the road I'm down.
Yeah.
Not because I would have, like, you know, died at those parties, but a part of me would.
Yeah.
You know?
It wasn't going to be good for you.
It wasn't going to be good. It wasn't going to be a good outcome. And I knew what I wanted at the end. And now I'm getting to the point where my decision making is, does this help me get to what God has shown me I'm going to get to? If not, I can leave out. Or, like, I can step out of the situation.
Yeah.
You know? Or if it's like, oh, yeah, like, I have a peace about going, then I'll go and it's going to be great.
And it's so cool because having a piece about going to that or a piece about how to do certain decisions and stuff. It seems like learning to follow God in your personal, personal time with Him overflows in being able to follow Him in
absolutely. The rest of your life too. Because it becomes less and less difficult.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, let's wrap this up. Lee, I would love for you to leave just a few practical tools that you use, super practical stuff, that you use in your Bible time, and someone who is saying, I'm ready to start making my relationship with God a priority, and I'm going to start studying. And so, first thing you need is a Bible.
Absolutely.
Okay. What's your Bible? What's your favorite Bible? Not that there's a right and a wrong one, but like,
the way my brain works, I love the ESV. Just something about the way it's worded helps me truly understand.
So, English Standard Version.
Yes, the ESV. Something that I do that helps me just really dive into the word and make it really personable is I love note-taking. My ESV has a note section on each page on the side of it, and I love color, too. So, I use color pencils, the flare pens, I get post-it notes. I really make it my own thing. Because just like a relationship is free, you know, and you have your own relationship with Him, that's the way that I love to read the Bible.
You really personalize it. Your Bible is full of sticky notes.
It's full of color.
And highlighting and flare pen notes and colored pencils.
Yes, if anybody else reads it, they would be absolutely confused, but I love it.
And I think it's called the Note-Taking Bible. Actually, on both sides of the page, in the margins, is a really wide space with lines.
And sometimes it's not enough for the amount of notes I take, so I just add a page.
And you said there were some fun YouTube tutorials that people teach you how to, like, add pages into your Bible notes.
One time I was watching this girl, and she literally had a foot-long Bible. Or, like, foot-wide.
Thick, yeah.
And it was huge. There was probably about 150 added pages. Because of all the stuff she'd
inserted.
Yes, it was, I was like, I don't know how. And it was her normal Bible. Like, she carried around, like, you know, to church, it was her normal Bible. And I was like, I could not. But mine's not that huge, but I still do stuff like that.
Let me inject what I do with my note-taking, because you and I have different personalities in this. So just encourage people to do it their way. So you love putting everything in your Bible. I do write notes in my Bible. I highlight my Bible. I love using crayons or colored pencils.
They
don't bleed through. The flare pens bleed through a little.
A little bit, but it doesn't bother me enough because I love colors.
So. What I have found, what I like to do is, it sounds like you kind of make your Bible and your notebook one.
Oh, absolutely. Because, like, I don't want to have to carry a notebook and a Bible.
Which works.
I just like the Bible.
I carry both, and my notebook is about the same size as my Bible, like dimension-wise, so that when I stack them together to carry them, it's not this wide notebook and a shorter Bible. Anyway, I date my notebooks on the outside cover with a Sharpie. And
in my Bible,
the date that the notebook started, whatever date that was, it doesn't have to be January the 1st. If I start a new notebook in November, I write it down. And I'll put the dates and the scriptures and stuff. And sometimes even in my Bible, I will say, look up November 30th, 2023 in my notebook. And I'll be able to go back to that notebook.
Yeah.
And
that's how I am with my Bible. I write down the date and the time. I don't know why I do the time. I just feel like it. Because I like to know, like, how tired I was when I, you know, if it's like 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to be kind of tired.
I know you've told me before you like to use the Notes app in your phone. It's kind of a notebook as well.
Yeah, it's really good because I won't always have my Bible with me.
Right.
But more than likely, I will have my phone really close, if not on me. And really, the Lord speaks to me a lot throughout, you know, reading and worshiping and stuff. And I literally write down time and date on everything He says.
Yeah.
And I've learned that that helps me. No, because I love that I put the date because I know, like, what months have been the hardest for me throughout this year. I'm like, okay, this is why the Lord showed me this, because it was a super anxious month for me.
Yeah.
Or, like, it was a super happy month, and, you know, the Lord was building me up, you know. And so I love, like, it's almost like a mood tracker, if that makes sense. Yeah. Have you seen those things?
Yeah.
Mood tracker, but it's, like, a spiritual tracker. You know, I can see how, you know, life has been.
Will you close us out just with a prayer, praying for the person who's listening, that this conversation has stirred up a desire in them to get rid of the perfection, to know their why, just to be able to abandon themselves in the presence of God, to get their eyes off of other people. They're not pursuing people. They're going to pursue Jesus. And to take those rules off that they have had, those legalistic rules off that have been a barrier to their relationship growing with the Lord. And they've decided they just want to spend time with Him as Him being a real person, Him being a friend, Him being the one they run to. Pray for that person to close us out.
Okay. Let's pray.
All right.
Lord, I just pray for the person who is listening to this podcast, and as you're revealing things to them, and they're really feeling, you know, their eyes being opened because they've struggled with the same thought process that I have, that moms have, that anyone has had. And they're just really wanting to know their why. They're wanting to know you for you. And they're really wanting to get out of this legalistic view that everything has to be a certain way for you to love them. Lord, I just pray that you will show them your faithfulness, that they will know that they are never alone in any circumstances, that you will help them see where their strengths are and where they can be used to best benefit the kingdom. Lord, I also just pray that you will show up and show out for them, and that they will be able to see you for you, that they will not worry about tomorrow because you're the author, so you've already written it. I just pray that they will be able to fully unleash and fully just surrender and fall back and fully be like Peter walking on the water. He gave up himself so he could be with you. Lord, I pray that it will be easy to them. Not easy because it's an easy thing, but just easy because they have your grace on it. I pray that the blinders will come off and that they will truly be able to see you for you, and that you will help them in everything that they set their mind to it, and that you show them how they will both most benefit from the relationship with you, and you will just show out and show up for them, and that they're able to see you in every single thing that they do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
A podcast guest today.
It was super fun. Yeah. Now I can say it's something that I've done in my life.
Right, on your mom's podcast. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for joining us today Laura Mayer podcast. Join us again here next time where we will continue learning that being His means being free.